When our Lord came down from heaven to earth, the Jewish people, as you all very well know, had their own mind set about who the Messiah should be and what he should be like. They had in their mind that this Messiah would be a temporal Messiah, would fix all the problems of their state, the state of Israel, if you will, what have you, and that he would be a temporal Messiah. And when they saw that he was a man who was nothing in the eyes of the world, that is, then they were a little scandalized because of their pride. But he transformed the whole world. I am the light of the world, he said, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. I think it was G.K. Chesterton that once said that each individual period of time is converted by the saint who most contradicts the world at that time, the world views at that time. And so we see all throughout history just how that worked. We see, of course, St. Dominic is a perfect example. When there was so much heresy going around the world, the Albigensian heresy, and Our Lady gave him the rosary. And with the rosary, he converted the world. We go to the Middle Ages and we see St. Francis of Assisi. If you ever read the collect for the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, it says that the world had grown cold. And so our Lord had given the stigmata, the sacred wounds of the hands and the feet and the side of our Lord, given those wounds to St. Francis in the hopes of melting the frozen and cold hearts of the people that lived in those times. And then we see in the time of St. Ignatius, the great missionary Jesuit, who at that time, remember what was going on, more or less at that time, Martin Luther was doing his damage in the church. And then you'd have the saints such as St. Ignatius going and preaching the one true faith so zealously. Or then you see later on St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. In the eyes of the world, another nothing of a person, but through her our Lord spread the Sacred Heart devotion. And he told her this would be the last grace, great grace, that I will give the world. The world has grown cold, he said. And this was back in the 1600s. Think of how much colder the world has grown now, even with the Sacred Heart devotion. And it's only because we fail to practice this devotion in the world. But in any case, the world was transformed by that saint who most opposed the ways of the world. Or the little flower, St. Teresa, in the late 1800s, how she transformed the world. And even to this day, how her little way of spirituality has such a great effect on people all throughout the world is because her way of humility opposed the ways of pride in the world. But then our Lord says in today's gospel, he turns back to his apostles. After he says, I am the light of the world, then he looks at them and says, you are the light of the world also. As if to say, when I go, now you will take over my job in a sense, and you will be the light that shines in this dark world. And these words, I think, can be applied to each and every one of us today. Think how dark the world is in a spiritual sense. Mortal sin everywhere. Walking through the checkout lines at a grocery store, it's as if you're walking through a spiritual gauntlet. You've got enemies on each side of you, with clubs and knives and everything else, and you walk through all this impurity on the shelves, and it's beating you up one by one, unless you're very cautious. And you see it everywhere. A society of mortal sin, a society that no longer believes in objective truth or objective reality. What you want to believe is fine, and I can believe something else. It doesn't matter. You see, That's when Pope St. Pius X came in. When modernism, for example, began to show its ugly face, you had him who said that modernists deserve to be beaten with fists. A saint said that about the heretics of our own day. Modernists deserve to be beaten with fists because they're ripping apart the Church of God. They're tearing his garments and causing schism and everything else in Holy Mother Church. They're causing the passion of our Blessed Lord. But as I said, you and I, each one of us, should be a light in this dark world of ours. You and I should no longer compromise. That's the tendency of modern Catholics today. And again, Pius X said, there is nothing more dangerous than a weak Catholic. True words, but scary. And we live in a day in which we're told we should compromise, and that's our general attitude. At least we might not notice it, but it's there in almost every one of us, that spirit of go along to get along, compromise here and compromise there with the ways of the world. And all that gets you is nowhere except farther along down the wrong path, morally speaking. Now, how are we to oppose the ways of the world, to convert the world? Well, first of all, to realize that, as I said, in this society of ours today, there is no such thing as truth. Objective truth, that is. It's all subjective. What I believe is true for me. What you believe is true for you. You can say that our Lord is in the tabernacle or he's not. It doesn't matter. Or you can say that the cow that you see is white and another sees it as pink, and it matters not, because that's what I believe. And so on with all the religions. And so you can never argue. If you've ever tried to argue and convince people on the truth of religion, and you get nowhere because they say, oh, it's okay for you to believe it, but not for me. That's because you believe that there is a such thing as objective truth. That there are principles, and they do not. And until you've both agreed on that one point, that there are principles, and they must be followed, 4 + 4 = 8. And don't tell me otherwise, because 4 + 4 = 100. You see? But that is how the modern world acts. With regard to religion, they will say every time, it's okay for you to believe this way. If for you to believe this way, and I'll believe this way. It's all the same to me, but then try to apply it, as Bishop Sanborn always used this analogy, to their bank account. Nobody applies it to his own bank account. If the banker tried to tell you, you walk in and are trying to cash a check or something like that, and you've got a check for $1,000, and he counts out all the cash and everything and is adding things up on his calculator. And he says, well, 100 and 100 = 50. And so he's going to count it according to his method of counting and shortchange you. You see, the world will see objective reality in regard to money and pleasure, but never with regard to religion. So the first thing to do to oppose the world is never compromise on matters of faith and of morals. What our Lord teaches, those words, those beliefs, are direct from the mouth of God, who is truth itself, and we are to hold fast to them, come what may, even should we be beheaded by the Muslims. Even should we have to shed our blood for a single truth of the faith, there can be no compromise in those matters. And then secondly, we live in a culture of impurity. We oppose this. We oppose it very strongly by rejecting impure literature. It should have no place in the Catholic home. Slight, immodest pictures should be tossed in the garbage, never to be seen in the home again. Books, pictures, movies, television, all of those things with so much filth should have no part in the Catholic home. And then in the way that you dress and carry yourself in public should, in a sense, make everyone else blush. And it does, too. If you dress and behave modestly, those who are not dressing modestly internally are ashamed because they know what they should be doing. Oppose the world. Oppose the world in humility as well. The world is filled with pride, and it's all trying to reach higher and higher positions. There's something good to this. We should look for higher positions. For instance, the father of a family should look for a good position to be able to support his family better. But the world is ambitious in the bad sort of way. We must oppose this by humility. Sometimes it just means accepting the state that our Lord has given you. You've tried all you can to go higher, but our Lord just keeps saying no. Accept it with humility. Or when someone says a sharp word to you, they might almost expect you to retaliate and are hoping you'll retaliate and start a big fight. When someone says something nasty, say nothing, in imitation of the meek and humble Savior. But lastly, how do you, above all, oppose the ways of today's world? By taking up your cross and following our Lord. The world has gotten rid of the cross. Look into the Novus Ordo Church and what do you see? Either a bare cross, which comes more from Protestantism, or the resurrected Christ on a cross. But you will never see, or very rarely, a crucifix. A crucified and suffering Jesus on the cross. Because the modern world wants to remove the cross, take it away, give you all sorts of pleasures, and then damn your soul to hell because of it. But we, as Catholics, oppose the modern culture. We take up our crosses, whether they come in the form of bad weather or whether they come in the form of being persecuted by people that are not Catholics, or whether it be just sitting through a long ceremony. We have Holy Week ceremonies coming up. That too is a cross that can be borne. And sometimes remember that the greatest crosses in life come from those whom we love the most, the ones that we live with, that we truly do cherish, and we cherish their company. But they sometimes are our heaviest crosses. Bear it. Bear it with resignation, that is, without ever murmuring, without ever saying a word of complaint. And if you can, then all the better. Try to bear your crosses with great joy. In these ways, you'll oppose the modern world. And who knows? You may even end up converting some dear soul somewhere in the world, a Muslim, a Jew, one of your own family members. But as our Lord said, I am the light of the world, so too are we the light of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.